That's just a piece of flesh. You know, it's going to rot. So anyway, he goes out there and takes them about 3 hours. They didn't have a backhoe back in those days. They had to do it by hand. So they go out there and they dig that hole and they put him in and cover him up. And just about the time they're almost back to the church, his lovely wife walks in and Peter says, "Oh, Sapphira, did you and Ananias really sell that piece of property for this much money?" She said, "Yes, that's exactly what we got for it. And we wanted to give it all to the church." He said, "Why have you and your husband decided to lie to God? Now the same men that buried your husband is going to bury you." And what happened to her? Who killed her? Isn't that something? We have lost that kind of fear in the church today, haven't we not? You know, it's about money. I've thought to myself, since God so clearly says in His Word that we are to give to Him, you know, under the old covenant, He said, you're to give me at least 10%, but under the new covenant, He says, give. In other words, if He required 10% under the old covenant, where the blood of bulls and goats was all that was paid for the price, but under the new covenant, He used His Son, and He says, I want it all. You know, I don't hardly know anybody that gives God all. You know, they really don't dedicate themselves. And we are not our own. You know that? We belong to Him. So anyway, by being children of God, and we don't give Him at least 10%, it's a good thing He's merciful. You know that? Because if He wasn't merciful, I'm going to tell you, I bet there's not one single one of us in this room that from the day we got saved, we've give God at least 10% of our income all of our life. I bet there's not a single one of us that even come close. I mean, you know, we might have done it sometimes or whatever, but we didn't know we were supposed to tithe. So I've told this story a lot of times. I said, you know, so I'm going to teach you that God clearly says if you don't tell Him the truth about your money, He'll kill you, because that's a sin unto death. At least it was in the book of Acts, right? If it was a sin unto death there, and then He says, "Hey, you can't pray about that because I ain't going to forgive them. I mean, I'm just going to kill them." So I say, okay, folks, let me tell you, in this church, to be here, you have to be a tither. Now, I'm going to tell you today, you have to be a tither. You know, and somebody says, "Well, I don't know about that." So I don't do enough teaching to really get you convinced that you have to be a tither. But it's all in the Word. But anyway, so next Sunday I say, okay, come to church, and starting next Sunday, we're going to take up our offering and we're going to put a bucket up here on the front, and everybody's going to get up one by one on a row, and they're going to come by and they're going to drop their week's worth, 10% at least, into the bucket they're going to give to God, because God demands that you give Him a tithe. Okay, so next Sunday we do this, and this gentleman here, he gets up and comes up, he drops his in there and goes on around, sets down, no problem. This man gets up, he comes and puts his in there and goes around, and then this woman right here, she gets up and she comes, drops hers in there, she goes on, and then this man over, hey, since I know him, I'll pick on him. He comes up here and he drops his in, and he takes about two steps on the other side, and he falls on the floor. I run over there, and I say, there ain't no heartbeat, he's dead. And I said, wow. So I go back over and I pull his out, and there's his, says AA. And I said, oh, it says there he gave $20. I said, anybody know this man? Oh, yeah. I said, how much money do you think he made last week? They said, oh, man, at least $2,000. I said, oh, he made $2,000. He gave God $20. God said he should have given him $200. So God killed him. I said, he didn't obey. I said, okay, now then somebody come take AA and y'all take him out and bury him out there. I said, he's dead. I said, no big deal. I said, next person come up and put your money in. Now, if you come up, if you've seen God kill him and you don't put your tithe in there, there's something wrong with you. You know that? But did you know there could very well be somebody in here that would say, I don't think God knows what I made last week, so I'm just going to put this in there. Is that the way we think? Sure, that's the way we think. That's the way we think about healing and everything. We think, well, I don't know what my sin is. I have not sinned. Yeah, sure. Okay. But it's amazing that the Lord says there, if any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. In other words, let's look at the overall picture of this. What is this trying to say that sin causes? It causes sickness, which leads unto death. Is that right? Really, that's very clear, isn't it? If you sin a sin, that leads not unto death. So, if you sin a sin and you're just sick and afflicted and you don't die, and thank God, most of the people that we pray for that come here have not committed the sin unto death. Aren't we glad? Because if, and now every once in a while we'll have somebody that we pray over, we do everything, and within a matter of a week or a month or whatever, they're dead. They did not find the sin, and even if they had, if they found the sin and you commit the sin unto death, what does God say He's going to do? It's kind of scary, isn't it, ma'am? Man, she put her hand there and says, pew! He's going to chop you off. Now, how would you like to show up in heaven and you had committed the sin unto death? Ooh, that would be something, wouldn't it? Can you imagine somebody, you know, all through eternity, people say, hey, brother, what was it that caused you to die so you got here? Oh, well, I committed the sin unto death. Oh, Lord, would you think about having to tell people that for eternity? No, thanks. Not me either. I want to say, well, the Lord, He got through with me and He took away my breath and I came home. Is that the way we'd like to have it? Because we know we're all going to die someday, right? Although we ain't, none of us in no hurry to get there, but I sure don't want to get there, you know, in sin, you know, because it depends on what the sin was, because this sin unto death, in fact, I want to take you to Galatians 5, I'm trying to think back about 16, well, of course, first of all, that verse 17 there says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Well, I'm glad. But let's go back to Galatians 5. Let's go start with verse 16. Galatians 5, 16, and we'll go down through there a little bit. I know verses 19 through 22. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, now, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How in the world, or what are we going to have to do to walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? That's it, brother. You got to be in the Word on a regular basis. And you can't just read it 15 minutes on Sunday morning in church in a Bible study class where everybody's talking about donuts and coffee and that kind of stuff. I've been in too many of those Bible study classes. We come in on Sunday morning, man, somebody's got the donuts and coffee. We spend 30 or 40 minutes talking about what we've done this last week, donuts and coffee, and nobody said nothing about the Word of God. And then we go in and read one or two verses and talk about it 15 minutes, and then class is over. What'd we learn? Nothing. That's exactly right. Nothing. You know, I know I was one of those Sunday school teachers for years, and then I got my class down to the point where we use our whole hour to read the Word of God. And then, of course, I was a Southern Baptist, so I still used the Southern Baptist Quarterly that come from Nashville. You know, I still didn't learn nothing. One day, God spoke to me audibly and told me, son, this is what He said. He said, son, I want you to lay down your Southern Baptist Quarterly. I want you to begin to teach just my word in your church. Ooh, I said, Lord, if I start teaching just your word, what you've been showing me, I said, you're going to have to confirm what I teach with signs and miracles and wonders, because this bunch are going to throw me out when I start talking about what you said. He said, you just do what I say, and I'll take care of the rest. And so I started teaching his word. And let me tell you, the first miracle I can remember, I was teaching about the power of God's word. And one of the ladies in my Sunday school class said, Thurman, I've been in church all my life. I ain't never heard nothing like this. I mean, that scripture you taught on this morning, Matthew 18, 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. She said, I ain't never heard that verse. Now, isn't that sad? Matthew 18, 19. Well, maybe it don't say that. What does Matthew 18, 19 say? It does say that, huh? You've read it before. You know what I just said was the truth, huh? So anyway, she said, you know, my mother's going in for a check on Thursday. This was on Sunday. My mother's going in for a check on Thursday, and they're going to run a scope down inside her stomach to see how bad her stomach is, because she's got ulcers, bleeding ulcers, and she's always passing blood or coughing up blood, and they say it's ulcers. And my mother, you know, I believe with all my heart that if you and me agree over that scripture, the Lord will heal my mother. I said, sure He will. So we prayed the next Sunday. Mother came to Sunday school with her daughter for the first time ever. What had happened? She went in Thursday, and the inspection showed she had no ulcers whatsoever in her stomach. She was perfect, and she called her daughter hysterically happy. And her daughter said, well, Mom, the Sunday school teacher and I prayed for you last Sunday that you would be healed. Well, she said, don't you think that's a coincidence that just because y'all prayed, I'm healed? So she came to Sunday school one Sunday with her daughter, listened to me teach God's Word, and I never saw her again. Now, see, that's the way we are. We'll have somebody pray for us, and God will do something wonderful for us, and we'll say, well, it was just a coincidence. It wasn't your prayer. I have had people tell me that. If you think I'm going to believe that your prayer, just because you came over to my house and prayed for me, that the reason my husband got healed is because of your prayer, you must think there's something wrong with me. You know, I've been in church. I'm 60 years old. I've been in church all my life. I have never seen a person prayed for and healing in the church in my entire life. So you think I'm going to believe my husband got healed because you prayed for him? You know, I hear those kind of things all the time. You know what I mean, right? Look what he says. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that you would. Now then, if the Spirit and the flesh are lusting against each other, in every human being, which one's going to win in you? The one you feed the most.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled Free Health Insurance, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.